Great, good afternoon. I'm pleased to kind of present a little bit about the integration of primary care and public health that has occurred in Kansas. This started much like what the science board's looking at to what's happening on the ground level when I served as a secretary and state health officer for the state of Kansas. So we kind of wanted to know, since there's been a lot of talk both at the national regional levels around improving health through collaboration and improving those relationships where patients entered into care, whether it's behavioral health, social services, et cetera. And we wanted to know what was happening across the state of Kansas. And for many of you, you may know Kansas is a rectangle-shaped state. Two-thirds of our population's on the right-hand one-third of the state, fairly rural and frontier out across. And so we deal with a number of other issues that are not unfamiliar to many other states and organizations, the way of financing and collaboration. So I have nothing to disclose. But in 2013, the Department of Health and Environment with some partners, our hospital association, our association medically underserved, and our association for local health departments went across and did a listening tour to seven sites. We had close to 300 folks attend that to really kind of discover and find out what was going on around collaboration and to what level of this integration was that occurring. And we gave out, obviously, the Institute of Medicine's report on the integration of primary care and public health, just because the level of awareness of that particular focus was maybe not as high as we thought it was. So what we found in these conversations, doing facilitated group discussions, we looked at barriers and opportunities, and we'll talk about some of the ongoing activities here in a bit, but what we found was for those that were already kind of some form of collaboration between primary care and public health, some of them basically just happened spontaneously for a number of reasons, lack of resources, staffing, whatever it might be. But a lot of them happened out of a crisis or a particular issue that was identified within the community, and that there are a lot of opportunities available but not necessarily capitalized on broadly. So when we looked at the groups and talked about, well, what's the barriers to more integration between primary care and public health, I don't think this is surprising to many of you. It's the fear of loss of control, identity, et cetera, some of this distrust. The resources don't necessarily follow the form or the function needed. And then the culture, you know, we didn't always speak the same language. When we talk about population health in a clinical setting, we're thinking it's our patient panel. We're not always thinking of community-oriented primary care, that there's other things impacting whether my patient gets better or not out in that community, and we need to be aware of that. So getting that communication and culture was really a fairly big emphasis that came out of that. So we did go through and we found you know, opportunities for integration, obviously, you know, for going away from fee-for-service and paying for value, that this would be a motivation and a driver to move forward. There would be specific projects with a requirement for community health assessments and improvement plans, that this would continue to drive better collaboration, hopefully. There's lots of emergency preparedness collaboration already taking place, that hopefully that would be an additional. And then the education for providers, and particularly education for elected officials. In our state, the decentralized state health department system, our local health boards are usually made up of county commissioners, and when they want to talk to them about health, they get kind of nervous. They don't know much about that. They know a lot about roads and bridges and public safety in the way of the police department and fire department, but not much about health. So what we found in these 2013, you know, we're doing a better job of aligning some of the economic interest and getting a focus back around the patient or the customer and the community would be a long road to hoe, but the right direction to start. But we needed to identify some champions because of the success stories that we found out across the state. There was usually one or two folks that were the leaders of making some of those changes. So you wouldn't be surprised that we already had a lot of community health assessments and improvement projects taking place. And so this was common, as was the emergency preparedness. Maternal and child health, even though at the state health department we knew all of the programs we had that reached out into the various communities, but we were kind of curious looking at others that have maybe taken that a step beyond. And we found a lot of great examples from our very urban communities like Johnson County and Kansas City, which would be Overland Park, Lenexa, et cetera. But we found that partnership between local health department, the University of Kansas Department of Family Medicine working on prenatal care and education. We found with Wyandotte County Health Department getting into an FQHC to help with their increased incidence of sexually transmitted diseases and the need for better patient education and treatment. So there are a lot of great examples. One of the other was a local rural community who the EMS service director and the public health local health department administrator got together because they both served on a volunteer emergency medical services, and they were seeing a lot of elderly folks that were falling at home. They'd call 911. Ambulance would show up at the local house, get the patient up, check them out, no problem, and then asked to contact their local provider, and of course the patient didn't want the provider to know they'd fallen at home out of fear that this meant the next step was a nursing home. And so there was no communication of what was happening at home, even though our EMS and local health department kind of knew about it. So they actually formed a group with the local providers, the health department, and EMS to develop a program that once an elderly person fell at home, that they would be referred to a community program to improve their balance and strength and mobility with contact with local provider to let them be aware of that. And that turned out to be very successful. It's a great example of some integration that occurred out of a locally identified need that arose because of folks being aware of that need and needing to address it. So, of course, not unusual to see a lot of co-location, again, because of limited resources. We had some places where the health department and the hospital or clinic were located together. Most of those kind of came out of a resource limitation or maybe an inability to recruit an administrator, so co-locating them made arrangements for that to take place. And then lots of patient education and coordination of care across primary care across the community. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So that was in 2013. In 2014, because of looking at the community health assessments and improvement plans and finding that not all of them were being done by the healthcare system and the local health department together, the public health and the healthcare system didn't always communicate, we were pushing for more of this collaboration going forward. So we just completed a state health improvement plan with a huge number of local and regional partners in developing that, focused around three strategic areas of healthy living, healthy communities, and access to services. So with the next round, we wanted to kind of look at how much did the local community improvement plans align with the state health improvement plan. And out of that, we found, again, you know, about 250 folks that participated in these. We found 323 objectives or strategies that were shared across that that kind of aligned a little bit with our state health improvement plan. This is a little tough, I know, to see, but this one just talks about some of these strategies that were working locally as well as with the state health improvement plan. I don't think it will be a surprise to many, from worksite wellness to the school health, you name it, everything from wellness, health promotion, disease prevention, all of those are addressed. But what we're more interested in is what did we miss on the state health improvement plan? Even though that was a very vigorous two-year process, was there something that we missed that you were focusing on your community health improvement? And with that, you can see these. We didn't have a specific objective or strategy around oral health, breastfeeding, underage drinking, telemedicine or telehealth, etc. So we definitely found some opportunities for improvement. So as the opportunity came about for me to take a look at joining this Heart and Stroke Collaborative, I got the opportunity to move away from politics and talking theory and moving into practical application. And this was much more exciting with the alignment between academic medical center, tertiary rural hospital, and Northwest Kansas has a lot of critical access hospitals. So with the CMMI grant, now we're really focused on improving the outcomes for MI and stroke in rural settings obviously focused on the acute care side, but we want to also reduce by 20% the mortality. And the way we're going to do that is decreasing the rate of MIs and stroke, which are actually higher incidence in rural setting than in the urban. And in doing that, we have to do a lot more engagement of the local community, which we're engaging local health departments, our clinical systems, our hospital systems, in doing that to raise that level of awareness. We still have 20% of patients who show up by EMS. They do the appropriate thing of calling 911. The 80% are driving in or being driven by private car. Now, granted, some of that has to do with distance, but most of it has to do with the stoic nature of these folks. They don't want the neighbors to know that something's wrong. They don't want to bother anybody. You know, they had those pains or that problem yesterday, but it went away, so I'll call Doc, you know, Monday when he's there in the office. So we have a lot of work to raise that and to also increase self-management. We're going to do that with transitional care managers and what we call local health coaches. The health coaches are in at a level trained and from the local system, but because they know the healthcare system, have the relationships with the local health department, what resources are available to tie in, whatever the patient may need, we're hoping to help continue to move many of our practices who, out of those 14 counties, only three of them have NCQA Level 3 patient center medical homes. So many of them have not moved toward the transformation model, mostly because they're cost-based reimbursed. They're not paid for value. And so we're moving that needle by basically engaging them through our transitional care coordinator and our health, local health coaches. So that's it in a real quick summary of our activities of what's happening with the integration in rural Kansas. Thank you.
Very cool stuff. And we have a good amount of time for question and discussion and interaction here. So we want to go ahead and get started with that. And let me just start with one, and then we'll draw more questions from the audience. But one of the things I'm hearing is as you integrate primary care, public health, community health, there do seem to be emerging a lot more players, a lot more new roles that we haven't defined adequately before. In our world, we say it's relational, not informational. Personalismo y confianza, the personal relational trust is often a key element in building these bridges. So I've heard of health coaches, health ambassadors, navigators, promotores. You heard Olivia in Chicago, they've got compañeras de salud. We've got this whole range of folks. Could you all speak a moment to what are the new staffing patterns and the new roles that are being defined and the new folks that you're having to train to do this work of integrating medical care, community health, and public health? Anybody jump in? Just speak loudly because we don't have a mobile microphone, apparently.
The health coach, we looked at community health workers. We don't have any statutes in Kansas to basically recognize that as an occupation. But we needed someone that we could have up and running fairly quickly to do the local systems of care and had that relationship with the community and the providers already. And instead of looking at every practice trying to hire additional staff to do all the work, patient education, transitions of care coordination to the health educator in the way the health coach. We wanted to do this from a regional model, so the transitional
we sort of march on into the system and then try to do connections. And then we also have, as I mentioned earlier, the medical legal partnership that's going to be a new program. But, you know, evolving.
Okay. So I talked a little bit about our community health workers and their placement in the Gulf region. And so as a part of our environmental health project, I'm not sure that I explained it sufficiently, that we actually train the community health workers, and there's a competitive process for the FQHCs and community-based organizations that were listed on the slide to actually apply for the funds to get a community health worker. And so that way, we are helping them to understand how these CHWs can be used, and they kind of have this test period that they don't have to pay for. But our hope and our expectation is that they will become so ingrained in the process that they will continue to look for funds to keep them or for someone like them. Now, I mentioned that the CHWs are trained by two of our projects. I didn't talk very much about our community health workers training project. The piece that I didn't tell you about them is that they've actually come up with an additional training called the Peer Health Advocate Training that's largely attended by staff at FQHCs or community-based organizations who said, hey, we heard about that training that you're doing, could we just get a little piece of that action? And so they come for that training. And so they are folks who already have jobs but still want some more skills that the FQHCs can use.
Cool. Thank you.
I was going to say that for us, it's a really cool piece of stuff. But really emerging act that we've been working on a lot is we started when we were looking at patient-centered medical home. Focused on the front end of our service delivery, which is open access scheduling. We instituted a call center, so really trying to make sure that the front end operation. About 3 years in now, the emerging model that we're launching is twofold. The first is really establishing care coordination around risk and risk stratification. It's such a larger population. You can't possibly leverage everything, and everybody can't get everything at the same time. So we're including care coordinators in the background to look at panels for our physicians. Ultimately, we're hoping to have two or three physicians per care coordinator, and so they're constantly looking at either claims data or our quality data to really understand what the risk level is for our patients. And then higher risk patients will be getting more touch with humanity and then bringing in behavioral health and other things. So that's one piece. The other piece, and it's not so much a role, but I think really a framework for approaching issues, and particularly similar to our study against cancer, is about patient communication. So in deepening our PCM, looking at shared decision making, and how do we incorporate tools, how do we incorporate that type of approach within our network and really looking at coaching. So the other thing that we're doing is creating internal learning collaboratives as well.
Cool. And what we see is people playing to their strengths, and in the clinical settings we're often, I think, better positioned to address the mesh between clinical complexity, behavioral complexity, and social complexity. We've got some really complicated folks that we're helping to care for, whereas our public health and our community health colleagues may be better positioned to think from a frame of free-range humans and sort of people living in their natural environment. Other questions for our panel?